Pop quiz. Is that a man or a woman? I'll give you a few seconds just to ponder this yourself. Take as much time as you need. Hit the pause button if necessary. You decide for yourself. Write it down if you need to. And then I will reveal who this is. This is Anna Harrison, First Lady of the United States in 1841. Not only the wife of the president, but also the grandmother of the 23rd president. Seems to be all in the family. Let's look at another example. Now, let me ask you this. Is that a male or a female? Yeah, kind of has rosy cheeks, I guess. Now, is the hair long or short? Well, this is not hair. This is not hair. This is not hair. That's some kind of bonnet or something, whatever you call that. Look at the hair. Very short male haircut. Now, this is a painting. It's not a photograph, but is that male or female? Kind of looks like that guy from the Munsters, that grandpa guy. All right, and look at the face, the bone structure in the face. Don't look at the clothes. All right. Is that a man wearing a dress or a woman wearing a dress? The face, that's just a typical male face with a typical male haircut. He's wearing a bonnet, some kind of headgear. That's it. Look at the hair is short. It's got a short male haircut. Some dude wearing a dress, all right? Who is that? That is Martha Washington, George Washington's wife, the first lady, supposedly. I was reading about Martha Washington. They said not much is known about the early years of Martha Washington. So basically what I'm thinking is this was a part-time role for some guy to play. This is just some guy dressed up like Martha Washington once in a while. You know, it was not a full-time job, especially back then. They didn't even live in the White House. Anyway, so it's just like a fictional character, kind of like they all are to a certain degree anyway, right? So it wasn't a full-time job to do this back then, especially. These days it kind of is, but they've gotten better at the technology and the technique here. But back then, some guy put on this clothes and posed for a painting. That's all it is. That's all that is, all right? It's like a part-time job, maybe once or twice a year. Somebody plays the part of Martha Washington. Now I'm going to venture off into speculation. This is scientifically sound, all right? Trust the science on this one, all right? That's a dude. Now, who could it be? Well, now we're getting into speculation. I would speculate that it would be another well-known person, a famous person practicing ritual androgyny for their gods. Although, I don't know, maybe it's not. I'm just saying, you know, who is it? Well, it doesn't really matter, really, but it could be somebody high profile. It would make a lot of sense that this would be some kind of Masonic ritual that, for them, it had significance and meaning. Maybe these presidents have to do a little cross-dressing first, and then they can become president. We know that all the actors have to cross-dress. That's part of the gig, man, right? And if you're a rock star, rock stars cross-dress also. And in addition to that, you got to marry the transvestite. All right, here's the First Lady of the United States as a transvestite, and all of them have been. All right, now I'll check out The Symbolism of Freemasonry, written by Albert Mackey, 1882. All the deities of pagan antiquity, however numerous they may be, can always be reduced to the two different forms of the generative principle, the active or male, and the passive or female. Hence, the gods were always arranged in pairs as Jupiter and Juno, Bacchus and Venus, Osiris and Isis, etc. Asherah and Baal, right? That's the main biblical pairing. But the ancients went further, believing that the procreative and productive powers of nature might be conceived to exist in the same individual. They made the older of their deities hermaphrodite and used the term arenothelis, or man-virgin, to denote the union of the two sexes in the same divine person. Arsinothelis, which means hermaphrodite. Hermes, Aphrodite, hermaphrodite. Attis has been emasculated, that is, has moved from the earthly elements of the world below to the eternal substance above, where, the Nicene says, there is neither male nor female, but a new creation, a new human being, that is, a hermaphrodite, the union of the two sexes in the same divine person. All right, now I'm going to look at this footnote. Is there not a seeming reference to this thought of divine hermaphrodism in the well-known passage of Genesis? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he him. Male and female created he them. And so being created male and female, they were in the image of God. See? Male and female. Androgynous. Okay, that's how they read this. That's why Martin Washington was first lady. George Washington. I just wonder why they put these aprons on there with the square and compass that looks like a blade. I do suspect if these people are male that they are castrated, all right? There's Gaia, that's G for Gaia, and that's the point within the circle. This is the radiant circle of the light, the androgynous atom. That's the light of the Kabbalah, all right? And the Baphomet has separation and union, basically. That's what it means on the arms. And then God will be androgynous once again, and all will be in peace and harmony and balance and equilibrium and gender neutral, as Boris, never mind the Johnson, told us at the G7. And as Madonna, or Mandana, Madonna, the Virgin, the man Virgin, right? Mary is the goddess, right? Same thing. The Catholic priests are... they're eunuchs because they don't get married. That's another way to use that term. This thing here is the American eagle and the bird-like winged entity that is used as the symbol for basically every country in the world. It's the seraphim, and the rulers are in the order of the seraphim. And the Baphomet is also the same symbol of androgyny. You got the male, the female, you got the male, the female. Except for, how about here, one of the earliest books of Kabbalah, androgynous Adam, androgynous God. There's the androgyn in the bathtub, the great equalizer. Boris said the word equal means more gender neutral. That's what he said. More equal, in other words, more gender neutral. There you go. That's what's going on. That's what the Great Reset is all about. That's what the vaccinations are all about. Injecting children with hormones, puberty blockers. Yeah, now practically it's extermination, it's genocide, it's sterilization, it's cutting off the seed. They've cut off our breath. They're suffocating us, and they are exterminating the seed of man by doing this. And it will create an androgynous kingdom of controlled breeding, where these people will have what they believe is godlike powers over life and death. All right, now this is a book written by this guy, a Freemason. He writes a lot. This is 1913. So A Secret Doctrine in Israel reveals a lot more than some of the other books that these people write. But they're not going to divulge all their secrets, you know, so obviously. But this one kind of does reveal quite a bit. Study of the Zohar and its connections. All right, he's talking about the Tetragrammaton, which is Yahweh, the name of God. And it's Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh in Hebrew. And it says here that follows that two letters of the name of God belong to the male principle, two also to the female. The engendering of the whole world depends on these two principles. The Vav will be united to the Heh, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. And when the Vav is thus attached as a bridegroom to the bride, there will be union everywhere. Unity sounds like a politician, right? Whenever politicians say the word unity, that's what they're talking about. The Holy One does not make his dwelling except where male and female are united. It's not talking about husband and wife here. It's talking united in one body. And there only his benedictions are disposed. That's why these people are androgynous. That's what they believe, all right? This is why Scripture says, and God blessed them, gender non-binary them, and called their name Adam on the day when they were created. Now, the dictionaries are changing the definition. School children are learning that this word they is talking about one androgynous person. That's what this gender non-binary pronoun stuff is all about, so that they can change the meaning of this verse. This is from Genesis 1. The transgender agenda is the Kabbalah agenda, and it is satanic. All right, let's say that real clearly. That's what I'm talking about here. The male and female will be united in the Garden of Eden as they were before the fall. There it is, page 106, The Secret Doctrine of Israel by A.E. Waite, written in 1913. Let me repeat that. The male and female will be united in the Garden of Eden as they were before the fall. As they were before the fall, that means as one person, not two people. The male and female will be united in one body, as they were before the fall, right? Androgynous Adam. The secret doctrine, the mystery of faith, is androgyny. And this whole book is about that, all right? This whole book basically talks about androgyny. And here's another one from a book called The Symbols of the Kabbalah, Separation and Unification. Separation and extraction of divine light. The unification of the masculine and feminine aspects or personas of God, like the alchemist's salve et coagula. That's written on the Baphomet's arms, all right? Which itself may have its origins in the Kabbalah. The Kabbalistic view of redemption or salvation involves a dynamic of separation and unification. That's what this means. Dissolve and coagulate, separate and unification. It means the separation of the two sexes and then the unification back into one, binary back into non-binary, the duad into the monad. The world itself undergoes a cosmic alienation and is liberated through a release of divine energy leading to the erotic unifications of male and female divine principles. These unifications symbolize the dialectical union of such opposites as male and female, good and evil, being and nothingness, creation and destruction, self and other, past and present, mind, world, material and spiritual, etc. By uniting such apparently opposing principles, the Lurianic conception of the Tikkun HaOlam brings us beyond a purely intellectual dialectic into a dialectic of blah, 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 blah. The Androgynes, all right? That's why they're androgynous, because that's what they believe.